You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
So, Steve, did Ava Gardner and Howard Hughes have a good relationship?
Well, they did until he dislocated her jaw.
What?
Well, don't worry. She hit him back with an ashtray.
From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
Recorded in Chicago, Illinois, with your hosts, Ken, Matt, Neil, and Jeff, this is Triviality.
Hello, and welcome to Triviality, the game where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge. My name is Ken. I'm here in the studio with my beloved Jeff. How are you doing?
Good. I'm a man full of carbonated drink, so I'm very happy.
Yeah. And what's going on in your world right now besides the carbonated drinks?
Not much.
Didn't you just get back from a trip?
I did. I left town for a few days.
Tell me about it.
I wasn't even supposed to be here today, but,
Just like in Clerks?
Just like in Clerks. But, when you're called up to the big leagues, you take your shot. So here I am,
Is that how it works?
I guess. I was never demoted either, so.
We do that every week to Jeff. He doesn't know if he's going to make the show.
He doesn't know if he's going to make the official roster. He gets a call 5 minutes before.
Well, the voice you're hearing online there is the inventor of the copper bracelets. Matt, what's up?
It's not a scam, I swear.
You got no defense?
No, I have no defense.
It's not a scam.
That's all I said.
It's not a scam. That's all?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it defends itself.
Okay.
The results.
I don't know if they do anything, but no, Triviality has no official comment on the copper bracelets.
Not a sponsor yet.
We do have a great episode lined up for you people today. First, we have our guest. He's a Not a Robot supporter on Patreon. We thank him for that. He's from Arlington, Virginia, and that is Dan Felsenheld. Nice to meet you today, and thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, I'm really excited. My first time on the show. I've been a listener for a while, and I just recently became a patron, so I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, so happy to meet you. We love when, longtime listeners come out of the woodwork and finally come on the show or join us on Patreon, so thank you so much for your support, and again, great to have you. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Well, I live in Arlington, Virginia. I'm originally from New Jersey. I'm wearing my Giants hoodie today.
I support the team.
Football Giants, I should say. But I've lived in D.C. for over 30 years now. Have two children who are in their 20s now. One of them lives in South Korea now, teaching English over there. The other one's still in college. Cool. And I am currently a contractor for the federal government, for our U.S. Navy, actually.
And we can't say anything more about that. We'll be taken out in a burlap sack.
We've had quite a few... contractors is their official title on the show before. They always say that's as far as I can go. Seems fair.
Well, Dan, nice to have you on the show here. And we can't have a game without a host. You know him, you love him. Brian Boyd from New Zealand. Kerry, New Zealand, which is a really cool name. I love it. He's a Savage superstar. So thank you so much, Ryan.
Thanks. Yeah, kia ora. Thanks for having me. This is my first time ever hosting a game of trivia with a online or in real life
that.
Ever. So thanks for trusting me with the opportunity to see what it's like.
Now, you've been on at least two or three regular episodes though, right?
Yeah. And
in addition to several bonuses.
Yeah, we're doing still in the middle of Bloodsport. It's taking a while, but we're getting there.
Year 7 of Bloodsport. Yeah. We're still doing it.
It turns out that time zone scheduling is harder than we thought. We were very optimistic.
A world tournament sounded really great in our heads until we realized we had to schedule it.
Yeah, I bet you'll be... don't worry, I won't last too much longer in the tournament, so once I'm gone, it'll make scheduling a bit easier.
I kind of forgot about it.
If you make it all the way to the end, we would be happy to accommodate you, trust me.
Oh. That's right, Ryan, one of our favorite guests. Thanks again for coming on the show today. And without further ado, we can get to the game. So Matt and Dan are going to team up. What do you guys got?
I think we're getting really excited for baseball season, much like new LA Dodgers players. We're betting it's going to be a really good one. So we're going to be we're excited for baseball season.
Okay. And on the flip side of that coin, we're going to be football season is over. And let's get the rules and we'll get this game going.
The rules of the game are simple. 20 questions split into two rounds worth 10 points apiece. At halftime, there'll be a special swing round designed by this week's host. After regulation, players will enter the final round with the points that they've accumulated and will have a chance to wager 0 to 30 points on 5 categorized questions. At the end of the game, someone will be named the cream of the crop.
I am the cream!
All right, so it's Matt and Dan versus me and Jeff. Ryan, take it away, and we'll find out who will be today's cream of the crop.
Great, okay. So before we get started, I'll just let you know there's no overall theme for this game. However, I wanted to have a little bit of a New Zealand flavor, so these first 5 questions are somewhat related to my home country of New Zealand.
Okay. What would you say is the signature New Zealand flavor? Are there any spices that are really prominent in New Zealand cuisine?
Kiwi?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Oh, it'll be anything green like rosemary, that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, round one, question one. The category is whakapapa. Although hundreds of thousands of people around the world do it every day, in June of 2018, New Zealand Prime Minister at the time, Jacinda Ardern, became just the second sitting elected head of state to do what? The first was by the Prime Minister of Pakistan in 1990.
I think I know this one. I think I can lock
looks
in.
Looks like
that.
Jeff is very confident here as well. So we're go ahead and lock in. Dan, what did you think?
I think she was pregnant, or had a child while in office. That's
all right.
That's what I think it is.
Not the place I would do it, but all right.
Not in office, oh, but okay. In office.
I mean, if you're,
sometimes you don't get a choice.
It's an emergency,
Matt.
Right?
We agree. I think she's only the second head of state to give birth while in office.
Yeah, and you're both correct. She is. The first was Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto of Pakistan in 1990. And yeah, question 2 on the money. Speaking of impressive wahine, our $10 note features the face of Kate Shepard, a name every Kiwi kid is taught about in school. She is known as leading a movement that saw New Zealand became the first country in the world to do what in 1893? It didn't happen in the US until 1920.
So Jeff has written down an answer, and I tend to agree. So we're locked in.
All right, so they're locked in. Dan, any initial thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I mean, 1920 U.S. is when women got the right to vote.
Yeah. That was my first guess.
Yeah.
And it seems like 100% correct, so there's no point in continuing to discuss it. So I think we're going to lock in women's suffrage, women's right to vote.
I don't know why you would want to make them suffer, but yeah, we agree. Women's right to vote.
Yeah, and you're both correct. It was New Zealand was the first country in the world to have women voting in the national elections. So,
and at time of recording, it is still Women's Appreciation Month for 3 more days. What's it called? Women's Month?
Women's History Month.
Women's History Month.
Yeah.
Still 3 more days left. So.
Right. You appreciate them for all 12 questions. Months. And, but
and
it's
celebrate
only 1 month
for
of history.
1 month.
Yeah.
Okay, question 3, New Zealand on the big screen. Many films have been shot in New Zealand, with our landscape often used as stand-ins for other countries. For example, pretending to be Pakistan in Mission Impossible Fallout. But which other Tom Cruise film from 2003 had he previously made in New Zealand, thanks to dormant volcano Mount Taranaki's resemblance to another famous mountain, which unfortunately was not a filmable location due to smog in urban areas, that wouldn't be appropriate for the time period in which the film was set.
So we don't think it's Vanilla Sky.
No, that was 2001.
Mm-hmm. But we are locked in with a...
It's definitely not Minority Report.
Right. So they're locked in. We're going to rule out Cocktail. That was my first thought. It's probably not that. any other ideas?
Wasn't that the 80s?
Yeah, that's the 80s. I don't remember the mountain, scene.
I have no idea. I'm not really good on... years of what women, like 2003.
Time makes sense for this, and I believe it was his greatest role of being a samurai, and I believe he was the last of them.
Oh.
So I think this is probably the last samurai.
Okay, that would make sense because of smog, and they yeah. said there was a lot of smog. So if it's outside of like Mount Fuji or something, mm-hmm. Tokyo, outside
yeah. So
of Tokyo.
We're gonna lock in with Last Samurai.
Hey, listen, Ken Watanabe was the last samurai, and also samurai is plural for samurai. But we agree that it's maybe the last samurai.
And you're both absolutely right. It is the last samurai. If you look at Mount Taranaki, it does look suspiciously like Mount Fuji. So well done.
Yeah, that would have given away if you had said Mount Fuji.
A little bit. Wow, I can't believe. See, I forgot Minority Report was 02 and Collateral was 04, and it slots in right in between.
Wow, so. Just
what a run. Banger after
War of
banger.
The Worlds 05, Mission Impossible 3, 06. I mean, the man works.
No one's accusing him of slumming it, no.
No.
All right. Round one, question four, around the world. In the United Kingdom, New Zealand and Australia are sometimes referred to as the Antipodes, meaning on the direct opposite side of the world, even though neither country is actually diametrically opposed to the UK. If you drilled a hole from Wellington, our capital city, through the centre of the Earth, which European country would you actually end up in? This country has the fourth most UNESCO World Heritage Sites in the world, including the Altamira Caves, Alhambra Palace, and the Teide National Park.
I can lock in. I know the answer.
Ooh, Dan knows this right off
Dan,
the bat. We're locked
you do
in.
A little bit of traveling, Dan?
I haven't traveled to this. Oh, I have traveled to this country, actually.
Were you born recently to be a traveling Dan?
So I believe, so I know New Zealand is like 60-ish degrees south. So we're looking for something that's like 30-something-ish north. So it's not very high.
Does that help you, Ken?
No, the degrees is not going to help me.
But I'm pretty sure Alhambra is a castle in Spain. And it would make sense that they would have a bunch of UNESCO World Heritage Sites. I could think of a few.
Yeah, and I was pulling from like what the language sounded like. And yeah, I would be happy with Spain.
All right, Dan, what did we go with?
I also said Altamira Caves. As soon as he said that, I was like, oh, I knew that's Spain. And Alhambra is a fort. I think it's a fortress in Spain. I actually went on my honeymoon in Spain way back in 1993. So
nice.
Yes, well done. You both got it. It's Spain, and it's interesting how few Antipodean places there are in the world. It's actually a lot fewer than you think. So it's quite cool. Okay, last one of the New Zealand questions. You're actually all nailing, is in notable records. New Zealand has a few notable Guinness World Records, including the world's steepest residential street in the city of Dunedin, which I ran up once and then threw up at the top. We also have...
And then the throw up ran down the street.
At 100 miles an hour, it was straight downhill.
We also have the world's longest single word place name, a Maori word which roughly translates to the summit where Tamatia, the man with the big knees, the slider, climber of mountains, the land swallower who traveled about, played his nose flute to his loved one. I will try and pronounce this place name once and only once. Within 10 either way, how many letters are in this place name? Taumata whaka tangi hanga koawu o Tamatia turi pukaka piki moanga horunuku pokai whenua katana tahu.
I was about where you were. Let's go halfway up. One more notch. All right, we're locked in.
All right. So I have researched this before. I did see that the longest place name was in New Zealand, but I did not count the letters, so I'm not 100% sure.
There's a really good one in Wales too, right?
Yeah, have you seen the BBC reporter who just like nails it mm-hmm. without missing a beat? It's so good.
Initially, I'm thinking in the 60 range. What were you thinking?
I wrote down 40, but it could be higher. I started trying to like write it down as he was going, and then I just gave up.
I was too hard. I was listening for syllables and was trying to put like 3 to 4 per syllable.
Yeah. Do we have to be within like how many?
Within 10.
Within 10.
So I think 50 is good. It gets us.
Yeah, I go 60 or. Yeah,
well, if we do 50, we get 40 to 60. So that seems like a good range.
Sounds good.
All right, 50 All right. It is.
Sounds good. Jeff put 70, and I was thinking 80, and we met in the middle, and we said 75. So hopefully I didn't push us out of the range.
Well, yeah, you are going to be very lucky, Ken, because you just hit it. There's 85 characters in that word.
Wow.
Oh, wow. We're not even close.
So I pushed us into the range, Jeff.
That never happens, Ken.
All right. Strong beginning to this game here. It is 50 for football season and 40 for baseball season.
Cool. And let's carry on with question 6 of round 1. And the category is counting sheep. Speaking of notable records, one New Zealand is often mistakenly thought to have is the most sheep per capita in the world, but we're actually second in that regard. Which landlocked country, the 18th largest in the world, holds that honor?
All right, so we are choosing a country based on it being landlocked and also not having very many people, and maybe they've got some sheep there too, so we're locked in.
So how are you on your landlocked countries, Matt?
I know some.
I know some too. I'm not very good at my remembering which ones are landlocked. I mean, my first, that's actually, my initial thought was actually Iceland, but that's island. But I know that because I know they all.
Yeah. My first thought was Mongolia.
Yeah, I was wondering that too. I was thinking that too, but I don't know. Like, do you think it's pretty big? Do you think it's the 18th most?
Well, 18th largest country in the world.
Mongolia was my first thought, actually, when they said landlocked country, but
yeah, I guess then Mongolia seems like a good bet. Mountainous,
and there's not that many people. It definitely is not that many people, you know, because it's
more sheep than people.
Desert, and yeah,
sounds delightful.
Iceland is like right. That too, actually.
Yeah, so I think we're good with going with Mongolia.
Yeah, when you go to the Chinese restaurant, you see Mongolian beef and Mongolian chicken. I haven't seen Mongolian lamb, but we're going Mongolia.
Yeah, well, it helps if you're the most least densely populated country in the world. It is Mongolia, so well done to both teams.
Quite concerned, I just pulled up this article. New Zealand's ratio of sheep to humans at lowest point in 170 years.
Oh no.
Well,
need more
it's
sheep.
All the way down to like 22 sheep per person.
Yeah, well, I've only got 16, so I'm not pulling my weight. All right. So next question, question 7, is in the category of film quotes. Referenced in numerous media, including Friends, The Simpsons, and 30 Rock, you all probably know the line, "You're out of order, the whole trial is out of order." But what 1979 film is it from? I hear James Hetfield is a fan.
All right, they're locked in. We could start with James Hetfield, Metallica guy.
Yeah.
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 I don't know if that helps at all.
Neil's not here, so I need to interject.
The Verdict is that a movie? I don't know.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I have seen it, I mean, a long time ago. Probably 1979, because I am that old. But.
Yeah, and I think that's a Metallica record. I was going to go with Saint Anger's Fire, which I don't think is a movie or
I'm
anything.
I'm pretty sure it's the first. My first thought was The Verdict, so I think that's the right. Okay. I think that's the right. Is that a Metallica album? I don't know Metallica albums. I don't listen to Metallica. So.
Andrew Sandman.
He's only in Metallica right now.
So. There's a guy on this current season of Survivor who went up against a Taylor Swift super fan, and they exchanged songs for 2 hours just going back and forth naming songs, which sounds riveting to be on the island. But yeah, I think we can go with The Verdict.
All right. I know the movie. I'm not familiar with the Metallica hit, but we're going to go with Injustice for All,
which is
a Metallica album.
Yes, it is.
That's right.
Yes. Matt may have been confusing St. Anger, the album, with St. Elmo's Fire, the movie. Yes, the correct answer is And Justice for All, which I just watched a few months ago and is actually quite good. Quite good.
I have seen it. Is it Al Pacino?
Yeah, Al Pacino, yeah.
Okay. I pictured Al Pacino because I've definitely seen that movie. But
okay. Question 8, world history. And this question was written by my quiz teammate, Vlad. So thank you,
Vlad.
With construction taking almost 50 years, from 1645 to 1694, the Patala Palace was whose winter residence until 1959? It has been a museum since then and became a World Heritage Site in 1994.
Do I hear it again?
I would like to hear that again.
No problem. with construction taking almost 50 years, from 1645 to 1694. The Potala Palace was Hu's winter residence until 1959. It has been a museum since then and became a World Heritage Site in 1994.
So I'm guessing we're thinking of a person with a title and not an immortal human being.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know of any 300-plus-year-old people, but
not yet. Yeah. Lestat.
Unconfirmed.
Lestat.
Exactly.
All right. We have a guess on this one.
Okay. My summer home and winter home happen to be the same home. I'm not an expert on this.
So, Potala Palace, for some reason, I think it might be in Tibet, and I think it might be the Dalai Lama.
That is what I was thinking as well.
Okay.
And if somebody who can go there as, you know, he gets reincarnated, he's like, I still got that winter home, right? They're like, yep. Like, all right, cool. And then we go down there and it's a good time.
I don't know where the summer home was, but if it's in, maybe one's in the mountains and one's like in the valley or something.
Yeah, it's important to have options. So we're good with locking in with the Dalai Lama.
Oh, that's a really good guess.
Yeah, we were between the Pope and the Dalai Lama. And we went with the one better known for opulence, and we went with the Pope.
Yeah, both good guesses. And the reason why it stopped in 1959 is because he's been in exile since then. It is the Dalai Lama.
Yeah.
Okay. Question number 9. The category is rugby is superior to American football in every way.
That's probably very true.
I don't disagree.
Okay. New Zealand has the All Blacks, Australia has the Wallabies, and the USA has, do you know? It's the Eagles.
No.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was afraid that was going to be the question.
No, that was the question, yeah.
But what nation's rugby team is known as Los Pumas, even though their logo was actually a jaguar until last year? Both these big cats are apex predators in this country, which finished fourth at the 2023 Rugby World Cup, where it's not really important who won.
Was it not New Zealand?
It was not New Zealand.
I believe it was Australia versus New Zealand. Is that correct?
No, it was South Africa.
In the final?
South Africa, New Zealand. They beat us by 1 point.
All right. Jeff has written down a nation, and it's a Spanish-speaking nation, which I agree with. Mm-hmm. So we're locked in.
It is a shame that Neil's not here for a question that has Puma and Jaguar in it.
Yeah, too bad.
He's missing out. What's your rugby knowledge like, Dan?
Is that rugby team?
Can it be a negative number?
Performance?
So my
rugby knowledge
probably
is very limited.
There you go. We're looking South America, probably.
South America. I mean, Puma is the same as a mountain lion, right? That they have in California.
Yeah.
Probably Mexico. South America, Central America, probably South America.
My first thought was Argentina. I think they have soccer clubs named that.
Oh, okay.
It sounds familiar. So that's kind of where I was leaning. And with your negative point information, I think we're good locking in with Argentina.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And we agree. We also think it's Argentina.
And you'd both be correct. Argentina is a pretty good rugby playing nation. And they've come a long way in the last 20 years. So, yeah. Okay. Question 10. Last question of the round is in musical royalty. While the lyrics for Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody do not include the song's title, they do feature the title of the song that knocked it off the number one spot on the UK charts in 1976. What song is that?
So, Ken, that's a very interesting thought. Time-wise, it makes really good sense. And I don't want to sit here mulling over the lyrics till the end of time to figure this out. So I think we should go ahead and lock that in.
All right.
Well, the classic rock is generally one of my least informed areas of expertise. Okay. So I
while those guys were talking and locking in, I was going through the lyrics and I went through all the lyrics, not all the lyrics, but I got to the part where he says, "Mamma mia, mamma mia, let me go." So.
Oh.
It's got to be Mamma Mia, ABBA. It's got to be the ABBA.
Hi, ABBA.
Mia, which
that
would be
sense.
Around the same time frame that it was first on the charts.
Love that answer. We're going with another answer that we love equally, and we're saying Carry On for Carry On, My Wayward Son.
Ooh.
Oh, very good guess, but no, the Matt and Dan have it. It is Mamma Mia.
Wow.
Yeah, managed to knock it off the charts.
And with that question, you guys pull into a tied position. So we're 80-80 right now. It's anybody's game, Matt.
That's feeling a little anyone's game to me. Yeah, good point.
And before we continue on, we just want to thank both of our guests and all the people out there who support us on Patreon. You can join us on Patreon too and get, what, no ads for $1, right? $1 a month.
Yeah, $1. Mm-hmm. You can get
$5.
Yeah, you get bonus episodes every week.
Bonus episodes, like 3 days worth, 4 days worth of bonus episodes. And weekly
plus the entire
drops.
Backlog, yeah.
Yeah. For above that, you get more goodies. You can do a character box. You get stickers. You get poster. Check out our Patreon. Patreon.com/trivialitypodcast, right?
I'm sold.
And without further ado, let's go ahead on to the swing round. What do you have in store for us today, Ryan?
Hey, yeah, okay, so for the midpoint today, we're going to have a round called Fun with Vexillology. So, we have a game where I will give you a country with three colours in its flag. And for 2 points apiece, you need to name these colours for a maximum of 6 points each flag. But here's the catch. It's going to be a minefield, so if you get any colours wrong, you will get no points. You do not always have to give three guesses. You can just give one or two to hedge your bets. For example, if I was to say the USA, you could answer red and white and get 4 points. But if you risk it and say red, white, and yellow, you would get 0 points. Does that make
you
sense?
You fool.
Yes. So there's going to be basic colors only, like blue, green, red, and no shades are necessary. And there are no repeat combinations. And there's going to be 9 for a total of 60 points, which doesn't make sense, but it will in the end. Okay. So I'll go through the countries. Country number 1 is, of course, New Zealand. Number 2, Belgium. Number 3 is a bit harder, so I'll give you 2 countries, Gabon and Rwanda. Number 4, Jamaica. Number 5, Yemen. Number 6, Hungary. Number 7, Chad. Number 8, another double, Estonia and Botswana. And for number 9, South Africa, which has 6 colors for 12 points.
All right, we have our countries. We'll be thinking about colors, and we'll be right back.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody shush! William Shatner has something to say.
Cat and Jethro, box of oddities.
What do you do when the woman you love dies? Well, of course, you dig her up and you live with her.
Aww.
The show examines weird things.
There are plenty of old photographs from this time period of children out in the streets playing in and among the dead horse carcasses.
Oh, I miss those days. Things used to be so much simpler.
Cat and Jethro.
Then there's the urine wheel, which sounds like a really bad game show.
They've done weird things. Cat and Jethro, box of oddities. That is really mysterious.
Join Cat and Jethro Gilligan Toth for the strange, the bizarre, the unexpected, as they lift the lid and cautiously peer inside the box of oddities.
The Webby Award-winning Box of Oddities podcast from Airwave Media.
We are back and we have our answers, thanks to Jeff. And I had no answers. Jeff had all the answers. So let's throw it back to Ryan and see how we did.
Great. Okay. So the first country was, of course, New Zealand. What'd you guys get?
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and risk it for the biscuit. I guessed all of the colors on all of these, so hopefully we're right. And starting with New Zealand, we said red, white, and blue.
All right. We hope Jeff's right on this one because we also said red, white, and blue.
And you're both correct. It's red, white, and blue. Okay. Number two was Belgium.
We said red, yellow, and black.
We said blue and yellow.
Yeah, well, Jeff has got that one on the money. It is might have been easier if I'd used the German flag, but yes, it is black, red, and yellow. So number three, you had two countries here, Gabon and Rwanda.
For this one, I think this is a more unusual pairing, grouping rather. We said yellow, blue, and green.
We hope Jeff is right because we also said green, yellow, and blue.
And you both nailed it. Green, yellow, and blue. Okay, Jamaica.
Yep, one of the few that doesn't have red, white, or blue on it. We said black, green, and yellow.
We also said black, green, and yellow.
And you're both correct. Well done. Number five is Yemen.
We said red, white, and black.
We just guessed red because we were pretty sure that there's a red in it.
Well, you're picking up 2 points. There is red in it. There is also black and white. So 6 points for the other team. Number six is Hungary.
Okay, Hungary. We said red, white, and green.
That sounds right. We actually just went red and yellow for Hungary.
Yep. Another one that would have been easier if I had said Italy. This is red, green, and white. Okay, Chad.
This one I remember because it's almost identical to the flag of Romania. So we said red, yellow, and blue.
Again, we just settled with just red.
And you'll pick up another 2 points for that. But the full colors are blue, red, and yellow. Jeff is nailing this. Okay. Number eight, Estonia and Botswana.
I don't know Botswana's. Fortunately, Estonia, I'm pretty sure, is blue, white, and black. Has a nice light blue.
On this one, we went just blue and red. We really didn't have any idea.
Well, you got one, but unfortunately, the red will cancel that one out, and it is blue, black, and white. Well done, Jeff.
Interesting.
Okay, and the last one, South Africa, which has six colors.
Yes. So I'm pretty sure it has kind of like a Y shape. And I think it's got red, white, and blue, along with yellow, black, and green.
This one, I have a South African magnet on my fridge, so it was one that I was pretty sure of. So we went with...
Why?
I had a friend who went to South Africa, and she returned with a magnet. So I just have magnets from people that travel for me because I don't go anywhere. So we have black, red, blue, green, white, yellow.
Well done. Great. Okay, well, that's the end of that. And, Jeff nailed that. Full marks for Team Triviality there.
All right, moving on to the second round. We are going in with a slight lead. It is 140 to 114 due to Jeff's perfect round. Good job, Jeff. And as your teammate, I take credit.
You can have exactly half the credit.
Thank you.
Ken is here, too. All right. First question of round two, the category is dog roll fest. Okay, one more New Zealand question. In the US, if you asked for some Cheerios, you'd probably get a bowl of OT cereal. But here in New Zealand, you get something very different. They're a red-coloured finger food that can be served hot or cold, and are found at pretty much every kid's birthday party next to some tomato sauce for dipping. What are they?
Most of the red foods I know are tomato-based. I can't imagine you're just dipping tomatoes in like
a... And you wouldn't want to dip something cherry into tomato.
No.
So
it's not cherry tomatoes are delicious.
I don't know. Let's just say it's like a chicken nugget or a chicken tender.
Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chicken treat.
A chicken treat. Okay, so they got chicken treats. I'm kind of at a loss here.
I'm racking my brain to think of any like red finger food other than like a mini hot dog. But why would you dip that in tomato sauce?
Oh, like a maybe like a mini sausage or something like that.
Yeah.
Why would you put sprinkles on bread?
That is true.
Because it's delicious. You don't know until you try it, right?
It's the New Zealand way.
I mean, yeah. I was thinking like chicken fingers or mozzarella stick, you would dip in the tomato sauce, but I don't.
Yeah.
In New Zealand, you're the crazy one, Dan.
Right. That's true.
I kind of like mini sausage kind of as a.
Sure.
Why not?
It's red. Why not?
So we got a mini sausage and chicken thingies.
You go to New Zealand and you're like, you know, I really want, are you a guy who puts the milk in your Cheerios or you put the Cheerios and then the milk? And they're like, what are you talking about?
So what is it? Disgusting. What is a Cheerio? Tell us.
Well, it's a little known fact that chickens in New Zealand, it's red, but no, the answer is cocktail sausages. So yeah. So well,
oh, you guys are right.
Wow. I'm shocked. Actually.
Cocktail sausages and red sauce.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
You don't dip them in tomato sauce?
No.
Well, probably call it ketchup, mustard? I guess. Is what
ketchup,
you call it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess we do.
You're okay.
Yeah, that
so
makes sense.
So your tomato sauce is ketchup. Okay, that makes more sense, yeah.
Because we were talking like a marinara.
Yeah, I would have been thinking like spaghetti sauce, like
marinara.
Exactly.
Marinara sauce. Yeah, it's a little different.
Okay, that makes sense now.
All right. Question number two, the human body. Which internal organ stores the majority of surplus red blood cells in case of emergencies? Hopefully Keanu Reeves stays safe as his was removed following a motorcycle accident in the 80s.
So me and Jeff made a list of three things that you can live without. And then we picked the one that we don't know what it does, so we're locked in.
In regards to internal organs.
Yeah.
There are many things I can't live without.
I don't think that they're storing red blood cells in your tonsils. But who knows?
I also wrote down three things like those guys like they were talking about. So mm-hmm. I wrote down gallbladder, spleen, and appendix.
Yeah.
I mean the appendix, I don't think they really know what it does in general. Like so I kinda rule that one out.
I know someone who recently just had their appendix removed, and they said it's basically a superfluous organ that it doesn't do anything currently.
I think your gallbladder like has something to do with like stomach. Doesn't it have to do with like digestion or something like that?
Yeah,
like stomach. Like because there's certain foods you can't eat if you have your gallbladder removed.
Right,
like fried foods mess with those types of people, right? Mm-hmm. I know someone who had their gallbladder out.
So that leaves spleen. I don't know anything about a spleen.
I know, like, if you're, like, splenetic, it's like, you know, you're, like, a nasty person or something, but...
yeah.
You have a lot of bile. I thought it was something to do with bile. I don't know, but I don't know what else. So it stores... Oh. What was the question about storing red blood cells?
Red blood cells, yeah.
I think you get what's...
spleen?
Can you have your spleen removed? I guess you can, right?
That's. I don't know. I wouldn't, I know. But I guess if you have to.
Not as an elective, but
yeah.
Not on purpose, right? Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. What are you doing this weekend? I don't know. Maybe I thought I'd get my spleen removed. Maybe.
I think I'd body spleen. Modification.
Sure. Let's go with spleen.
Yeah, we said spleen, although we have to add tonsils to our list of three to make it a list of four.
And well done to both teams figuring that out. It is the spleen. All right. Question number three is in movies and music. In the 2002 film Panic Room, director David Fincher cast country music star Dwight Yoakam as Raoul, a slightly unhinged home invader who breaks into Jodie Foster's house with Forest Whitaker and Jared Leto. However, Dwight wasn't Fincher's first choice for the role. He originally wanted another singer known for fronting three rock bands. Fincher met this singer in 2000 while directing the music video for the song Judith, the debut single for one of his bands. Name this singer. And for five bonus points, what are his three bands?
Okay, we are locked in with the answer, we think, and the three bands.
What do you think? My first thought was actually like Jack White.
Yeah.
Because he has the White Stripes, the Raconteurs, and I forget what there's is the third one. Like, is it them Crooked Vultures or something? Is that Jack White?
Oh, yeah. And he looks Jack like White? He could be a home invader.
And he's... Yeah, and he's kind of, yeah, he's kind of scary. The only other person I know, like, the only other person with three bands is, like, Eric Clapton. had three bands, but he's not really an act. I don't see Eric Clapton being like a Home Invader. He would have been too kind of old for that.
I was thinking Chris Cornell.
From that's not a bad. Yeah.
Audio Slave. Was it
Soundgarden and Temple of the Dog? I'm just gonna help you out there.
Yeah.
I knew you knew it.
I knew I would have gotten to Soundgarden. Maybe not.
I knew you knew him. It's not a.
He has a different look, but
has he done any movies though?
I don't know,
because Jack White was also in he's also been in some other movies.
Well, that
2002 is that yeah, it sounds about. I mean, I don't know. That's
about when they got popular, I guess. He would have been new on the scene, but I'm good with locking in with Jack White.
Okay.
We're going a little bit of a different direction. I think around this time, A Perfect Circle was putting out a banger of an album, and the singer for A Perfect Circle is also in Pussifer and Tool. That's Maynard James Keenan.
Yes. Jack White, I think, played Elvis in Walk Hard: The Dewey Cox Story, but I don't know what else he's acted in. Yes, the correct answer is Maynard James Keenan, the singer for Tool.
And he definitely hasn't looked good. Just saying.
Yeah, he looks like a home invader.
He looks like a home invader.
I was going to say that, but
I could not name, and I don't even know who that person is, so I'm missing that question.
That's a little bit in Ken's wheelhouse, I'd say.
He's the only vineyard, like wine vineyard owner that also looks like a home invader.
Okay. Question 4. Cricket is superior to baseball in every way. And this is from my quiz teammate, Dave. Whether it's a 5-day test match, a 1-day game, or even the short version 2020 where it only takes about 2.5 hours to play, cricket is a glorious sport. When you think about cricket playing nations, you probably think England, Australia, and India, or at least you should, as they are generally the top ranked countries. However, the first ever international game of cricket in 1844 featured none of these countries, nor any countries that played in the 2023 Cricket World Cup. For 5 points each, which two countries that share a land border played this match?
So my first thought was it'd be countries that had a lot of British influence.
Yeah, Commonwealth countries or something.
Baseball,
I mean,
might not
Canada.
Be.
Could be Canada and the U.S. I mean, yeah, based on what those guys were saying, I was wondering if that was because, like,
yeah, baseball's not taking off yet. They're like, let's try cricket. I'm like, yeah, this doesn't work for me.
1844. I mean,
get rid of the wickets.
Yeah, I like this. Less wickets. That was the one note.
I mean, it's hard, you know. Like, yeah, what other Commonwealth countries? I mean, it could be. It's probably not somewhere. It could be somewhere in Africa or something, like one of the colonies. I mean, there's all those, you know, Kenya and.
Right. There's a lot of territories. In 1844, I'd feel pretty confident locking in U.S. and Canada.
Yeah, let's do that.
Wow, that's a. Guess I like a lot, but we were just thinking about baseball, so we said Haiti and the Dominican Republic.
Well, Matt's gut would steer him the right direction there.
Yes,
Canada, nice. And the USA, first countries to play an international
That's
game
really
of cricket.
Funny.
Yep. Yeah, Canada has played in 3 World Cups, the last time in 2011, but USA has never qualified for it.
Stinky cricket. What can I say?
Here's what we did. We took the cricket idea and we rebranded it, and then we said we're the world champions of it. USA.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on to question 5, and the category is crystals. And this is sort of a listener-submitted question. I needed one more question, so during one of Jay Borsum's live streams, I asked the chat for ideas, and the first one I got was crystals, so here it goes. The birthstone for August, peridot, comes in many shades depending on its iron levels, but all those shades are of a single color. Which color is that?
Okay, the funny thing about gemstones is, and birthstones, there's only 12 of them. You think it'd be easy to learn them, but I never do. It's never going to happen.
If it's based on iron levels, it could be red.
Okay.
But, I mean, my first thought was for some reason was green, but I don't know. I don't know birthstones. Really,
yeah.
Bird zones. Emerald is one of them, but that's obviously green. But so it's probably not green.
I like red. That seems to make sense. You seemed like you had some sort of knowledge about iron levels. Iron Man is red. That makes sense to me. So I think we lock in with red.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah, we're saying red as well, and Ryan mentioned different shades, so it could probably get down to a nice pink there as well, but we're saying red.
Well, Dan should have listened to his gut. It is green, unfortunately.
Oh, it is? Mm. Oh, crap.
What?
Yeah.
That was
wild.
Wow.
All right, closing the gap slightly is baseball season. They have 144 creeping up on us. We're at 165 here at football season.
Okay, let's move on to question six. So, looking at my questions, I realized that they were clearly written by a 40-year-old white guy, and I would like to have some questions outside my wheelhouse. So I asked my 7-year-old daughter, Emma, to help write the last 5 questions, and here's what we came up with. The first one is in the category of cheerleading. In cheerleading, what is the typical number of people needed for a standard group stunt?
All right, we're going to lock in with a number of people.
Hmm. They have a number of people. It's for a group stunt,
a
right?
Group stunt. That's what we said. I wrote down like 3 different numbers, like 3, 4, or 5, but I mean, it's probably more than, maybe it's more than 3, you know. 3 is a crowd and 4 is a group. I don't know.
4 is a group. That's possible. I watched a lot of Glee recently. We've been rewatching it in the household. There's a lot of cheerleading. Jane Lynch plays Sue Sylvester, a close personal friend of mine. Showed up at my conglomerate multiple times. I think that it's 3. I think you need to have 2 bases and a flyer for a group stunt. That's my guess.
Okay.
Sure. But it's probably 3 or 4, but I think we could lock in with 3.
All right, let's go with 3.
Yeah, we're going one more because in addition to the lifters and the flyer, you probably want somebody back there to brace you when you come down. So we're saying 4.
And the logic for Team Triality is absolutely right. You can do it with 3, but you definitely want someone at the back there as well to catch. So the answer is 4.
Wow.
Don't break your neck, yep. Matt. Try and group stunts by yourself.
Okay. Question 7. In fashion? Some people hate them, but my daughter loves her Crocs. Even more, though, she loves the cool little colorful attachments you can pop in the holes in the front of the shoe. Not to be confused with the liver, heart, or gizzard of a chicken or turkey, what are these funky accessories known as?
I can lock in, Matt. I know this one.
As a manager of mostly 17 to 20-year-olds, I'm also very familiar with these names. But yeah, I'm confident with you. We can lock in.
So my first thought was, like, is it giblets? And then I was like, no, that's silly. That's the turkey thing. But is it giblets?
It might be. Of course, aglets popped to mind, but those are on the ends of shoelaces, and
giblets?
Crocs don't have them.
Is it giblets?
Right, I would say.
Let's just say giblets.
No, I'd say giblets and call it a day.
It's close.
It's close.
Is it giblets?
It's gibbets.
Gibbets.
No L, yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. They just added an extra L in there, guys. So the answer is gibbets.
I can't believe Crocs are popular.
I knew that couldn't be right.
Crocs, when we were in high school, all the kids that everyone made fun of wore Crocs, and now they're like the hottest shoe. It's crazy.
All right, moving on to question 8 in music. Kids Bop is an American children's music group covering popular songs that I am too old to appreciate. Not being familiar with most of the original versions, I didn't realize they sometimes alter the lyrics to make them more family-friendly until I heard the original About That Time by Lizzo, and it turns out it is not, in fact, Kids Bop O'Clock. A more shocking realization was when I heard the original version of the song A, B, C, D, E, F, U, the 2021 debut single for what mononymed teenage singer? The song was nominated for Song of the Year at the 2022 Grammys, and Oprah was not involved.
That's a good clue. We can lock in.
Is it Gail? You know Oprah's friend Gail?
It might be, yeah.
It's either Gail or Stedman.
Yes.
Stedman.
And I don't think it's Stedman. I think I would rather go with Gail as the mononym.
I know this song, and it's not my favorite, but...
I swear Kids Bop made a version of WAP called Waffles and Pancakes, and I know I've heard it, and I cannot find it anywhere on the internet now.
It's a parody. It's not real.
No, it's definitely, it's got to be there somewhere, because I've heard it.
Well, good luck with that. Yeah. We'll go with Gail. Yeah.
All I'm telling you guys is waffles and pancakes make the syrup game weak, okay? Yeah.
grab your syrup, grab your, I don't know what else you grab. I'm 100% sure it's Gale.
Okay.
Yeah, and you're both right. It is Gale. We do listen to a lot of Kidz Bop, and I haven't heard a WAP version of on there anywhere, but I'm going to keep an eye out for it for sure. All right, moving on to question 9 in Fairy Tales. I've read a childized version of the Grimm Brothers' Snow White more times than I can count. One notable difference between the original story and the animated film is that the Evil Queen had 2 failed attempts on Snow White's life before coming up with the poisoned apple murder plan. Her first attempt used a specific item of clothing that you might see at Oktoberfest, and the second was a poisoned grooming device. Name either of these items for 10 points, and for 5 bonus points, name them both.
Yeah. If you're going to poison something, you should have gone for
her lederhosen and her fingernail clippers.
You should have gone for the toothbrush.
Yeah.
Didn't have toothbrushes back then.
Yeah.
She rubbed Snow White's toothbrush on the inside of the toilet bowl.
Just grab what? Grab like a leaf off a tree and just rub it on your teeth?
It's very
back
evil.
In the day.
October.
I hate to admit we might be living in the best times.
It's possible. Oktoberfest fashion. Outside of lederhosen, I got nothing.
A lederhosen. They have like, I mean, women wear like a dirndl or something, like the skirt or something like this. Like a,
okay,
I don't know.
That's an official name.
There's a hat or something.
Oh, maybe
like, they have like the hats or something. I don't know. The second I one, think, I was thinking like a haircut, like a hair comb or something like that.
It's either a hairbrush or a comb or something like that. They were really trying to scare kids away from brushing their hair at the time. From what I recall, more
what
of the
else
story,
would be
don't
from,
brush your...
from like I mean, there's a beer stein, but I don't know. It's not an article of clothing.
Yeah,
Oktoberfest.
Isn't that Das Boot? Is it
what
a boot?
What do the women wear? Like, what do the women wear? And don't they just wear like a peasant skirt or something? I don't know.
Yeah,
I hated your poison in the skirt though. Doesn't even make sense.
I'm just picturing St. Pauli's girl, and I don't know.
I got nothing. Yeah, corset.
So
Pauli's girl.
So lederhosen and a brush. That's what we got over here.
Sure.
All right, we're gonna go with the comb for the grooming item for the piece of clothing. I wrote girdle, but I think corset is the more proper name. But yeah, the girdle corset thing.
Okay. So yes, you both got. It is a comb, but I'll accept brush as well for that. It is that she puts in her hair. The item of clothing is a laced bodice. So I guess I will accept corset for that. It's very similar, yes.
All right, so on that one, baseball will be getting 10 points for getting the hair grooming device somewhat correctly, and we'll be getting the full points for getting comb correct and getting the other one mostly correct. So 15 points for us and 10 for you guys.
Very good. Last question of the regulation. Let's have a round about animals. So Emma's favorite animals are dolphins. Let's play Two Truths and a Lie, Dolphin Edition. Can you pick out which of the following 3 things about dolphins is not true? Number 1, dolphins can recognize themselves in the mirror. Number 2, dolphins have no sense of hearing. Number 3, dolphins are born tail first.
Okay, we're locked in.
All right, so I think we can rule out the first one. I'm pretty sure that they do recognize themselves in the mirror.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think I've heard that.
Uh-huh.
And otherwise, Matt has really wasted his time at the aquarium.
Number 2.
Do they use echolocation?
Because they use echolocation, I think that you would think that they don't have hearing, but I bet they do still have some sort of hearing.
I've never seen videos of dolphin birth, so I couldn't tell you.
My number one search on YouTube, dolphin birth, not so much. I feel like it's the hearing one, because you would think that that game theory would suggest that one seems like the easy answer. That, you know what I mean?
That's not true.
Yeah, I think that they can hear. I think they've been lying to us the whole time.
Okay. So you're going with they can hear?
Yes.
Look, Matt would never watch any illicit dolphin stuff on Porpoise.
Oh, boo.
All right, so you guys are going with they can actually hear, and we're going to say the same thing, and Jeff added to his paper, they masturbate. Me too, Jeff. Me too.
That's on purpose.
And yes, you're both correct. They do have sense of hearing. However, they do not have a sense of smell.
And that brings us to the end of regulation. It's 210 for football season and 184 for baseball season. So, as we like to say, it's anybody's game and it'll come down to the wagers. Ryan, what are our final round categories?
So, for the final round, we're going back to New Zealand. I've got five questions about various areas. We've got number one is New Zealand Oscar winners. Question two is New Zealand nature. Question three is New Zealand science. Question four is New Zealand animals, and question five is New Zealand sport.
All right, the other team is wagering 30s all the way down. They want to get crazy. Well, we're feeling a little crazy too. We're doing 30s all the way down, but we're not going to put 30 on sports. Are you crazy? We're saying zero on sports. So let's go ahead and have the questions and get a really easy sports question at the end.
That totally cost us the game.
That cost us the game.
All right, question one in New Zealand Oscar winners. New Zealand has had quite a few Oscar winners like Peter Jackson, Brett McKenzie, and Taika Waititi. Who was the most recent New Zealand-born Best Director Oscar winner, winning in 2022, though they lost their adapted screenplay nomination that year? This was almost a flip from the 1993 Oscars, where they won the screenplay Oscar, this time for original work, and lost the Director Oscar to some guy named Steven Spielberg. Number two, New Zealand nature. Also the name of our national women's netball team, and found on pretty much all of our national sports uniforms, New Zealand's national plant is a fern, named for which somewhat unusual foliage colour on the underside of its leaves. To be clear, I'm looking for the colour, not the plant name. Question 3. New Zealand science. Add the first name of a Nobel Prize-winning American author and the surname of Billie Eilish's ex, and you get New Zealand's first Nobel Prize winner, who won in 1908 for postulating the nuclear structure of the atom, discovering alpha and beta rays, and proposed the laws of radioactive decay. Name this man after who the 104th element on the periodic table is named for, and I will accept just the surname. Question 4, New Zealand animals. With amazing creatures like kiwi birds, tuatara lizards, and Maui dolphins, New Zealand has some amazing native animals, but only one native land mammal. Called pekapeka in Maori, there are two species of this animal, a short-tailed and a long-tailed, and both are endangered. What type of animals are these? And question 5 in New Zealand sport. You may be familiar with Stephen Adams, New Zealand's most famous basketballer who currently plays for the Memphis Grizzlies. But did you know he also has a famous sporting half-sister in Dame Valerie Adams, who has won two Olympic golds, a silver, and a bronze in which track and field event?
All right, we have our questions. We'll be back and hopefully have some correct answers. We are back and we have our answers locked in for the most part. And we are ready to find out who will be today's cream of the crop. Ryan, why don't you take it away with question one of the final?
Okay, so the first question of the final round was basically who was the most recent New Zealand-born Best Director Oscar winner?
So I think it's the Power of the Dog director. I remember it's a female director. I think probably the other movie was maybe The Piano, but the name is not coming to me, so I can't pull it.
All right. Well, we actually, Matt actually came up with the name of the movie was The Power of the Dog. And I'm like, oh yeah, I saw that movie. Who directed it? It's Jane Campion. And she also directed The Piano, as you said.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. It is Jane Campion. I watched that movie at 1.5 speed and it looked like a normal movie after that. Right. So question number 2 in New Zealand nature. What color names our national plant?
We said blue.
And we said purple.
Well, both good colors, but if you know anything about our sports teams, we always have a big silver fern on our hearts. It's a silver fern.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, duh. That seems so obvious in hindsight.
It's not looking good, Jeff.
It's not looking good.
See if we can turn it around.
Well, you might get the sports fun right here.
I don't know if, you know if we guessed.
It'll help you out.
Yeah, we did not.
No. Okay, anyway. And question number three in New Zealand science, who was New Zealand's first Nobel Prize winner?
I didn't realize he was from New Zealand, but I'm pretty sure this is Ernest Rutherford.
Yep, I came at it from the Billie Eilish X angle. Dan knew some science. We said Rutherford.
Yeah, I'm very happy that you guys got that one. I was worried it might be too hard, but yes, the answer is Ernest Rutherford, who's also on our $100 bill, by the way. All right, question number four in New Zealand animals. What is New Zealand's only native land mammal?
We think the Riddler might not like this animal very much, and we said the bat.
We actually went with the lemur, I'm hoping.
Well, I wish we had lemurs, but unfortunately we don't. One thing we do have, though, are bats. And yeah, so well done to you guys. All right, and the last question in New Zealand sport. What event did Dame Valerie Adams win Olympic medals in?
We don't know, and we did not wager. Let's say javelin.
We thought actually something similar. Stephen Adams is a really big, strong guy. We think she might be a big, strong gal, and maybe she did some shot put.
She is a big, strong gal, and she did do some shot put.
Oh, yes. My God.
It was, wow. Between that and weightlifting. And nice pull. The right one.
Yeah.
Well, I was hoping you weren't going to say weightlifting, because that's not normally a track and field event. But
oh, yeah.
Good point. Did we lose by 4 points?
Yeah. So after a little bit of math, my disappointment can't be quantified in points, but it is 214 to 210, and baseball just squeaked it out right at the last question there. You are today's cream of the crop.
On balance, off balance, doesn't matter. I'm better than you are. Yeah.
We hit the home run. The fireworks are going off.
Unjustifiably in a position I'd rather not be in today, Matt.
It can be quantified by 4 points. That's your disappointment.
4 points worth of disappointment. But it was a great game. It was a fun game. I appreciated all those great questions, and we learned a little bit about New Zealand today, thanks to Ryan. Ryan, any final words for you today?
Well, just thanks for having me and for trusting me to have hosting duties. And thank you to the playtesters, especially Louis, who had great feedback, and I think it really helped make the game better. And I guess I'd just like to give a shout out to my family, my wife Cindy, and my 2-year-old son Danny, but especially to the only one of them that will actually listen to this, and that's Emma, who's my favorite quiz teammate. She loves coming to the pub with me and playing along, and she actually gets a few right here and there, so I think she's nice. Going to be a good quizzer in the future. Yeah.
Thanks for listening, Emma. And couldn't have had a great game without great competition. Matt and Dan, you pulled out the win. Dan, any final parting shots from you today?
Well, shout out to my wife of the last 30 years, Donna, and my children, Nico and Leah, who may or may not listen. I don't know. One of them might listen, but and shout out to Ryan. I mean, you wrote a great game. I really, really, really enjoyed it.
All right. Sounds great, and it was a great game, Ryan. Thanks again. We also want to thank our Patreon supporters. Once again, you can find us at patreon.com/trivialitypodcast. Sign up for $1 for ad-free, $5 for all that extra bonus content. We'd appreciate your help. And also, thank you to Airwave Media. You can find them at airwavemedia.com and learn other things from podcasts such as The Age of Napoleon, History of the Great War, and Small Things Often. Check out those awesome podcasts over at airwavemedia.com. And that'll be the show for today. I want to thank Ryan and Dan once again for appearing on today's episode. For Matt, Jeff, and Neil somewhere. Where is he?
I didn't even mention Neil is lost in New York. So if anyone
Neil's
can find
lost
him
in New York, yeah.
Before just like Marvin Macaulay Harry.
I was, yep.
Before the Sticky Bandits get him, make sure you help Neil out. My name is Ken, and that was Triviality.